me of years growing up in church. Just like any other kid, there are some mornings where I said, why do we have to go to church? But in church, I found people that loved me and cared for me. In church, I found some answers to some questions I wrestled with as a young adolescent. I learned commitments to others. And in my house, O Lord, your house, God, I find you. Well, we are on the fourth sermon on stewardship. As you have heard, Sue comes up with the most fantastic, I don't know, strategies, I could call them gimmicks, to present stewardship in a fun and light way. Even the little shoes that are walking up to the piggy bank, just as an illustration. She does a great job. And then my job is to riff on her wonderful theme and come up with sermons that have to do with steps. And I got to the fourth one and I thought, gosh, what can I do? And I thought about the times when, in my 15 years here as your pastor, twice I've had major surgeries. Once a full ankle replacement, once a full knee replacement. And it occurred to me that I thought it was silly that I would be wheeled up here on a wheelchair and worried about that. But people lifted up my wheelchair, put it on the dais, sat there and listened to my sermon as I did it from a chair. And I thought, you know, that's the graciousness of a community that does step up for God, that doesn't let illusions get in the way. And I thought about the Apostle Paul and how the Apostle Paul had such a gracious way about him. He suffered many times for the gospel, but he always discovered that it became for him something of grace, even the struggles. And so I'd like to read to you one of his responses about the importance of giving found in Acts 20, 32 through 35. The word of the Lord for this morning. And now I commend you to God and to the message of His grace, a message that is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or clothing. And you know for yourselves that I worked with my own hands to support myself and my companions. In all this, I have given you an example that by such work we must support the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. For he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. May God bless the reading of his word. We pray with me. Lord, as I kind of unpack this message from Paul, just believe with our hearts and minds. As we think about where our treasure is, where we'd like it to be, and what we want this world to witness in being your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've had a lot of discussions about tithing. It's an Old Testament word. A tithe was a tenth of everything that you owned. But really that's a misnomer because the tithes were done as a tenth on different things. And there were different reasons. And one biblical scholar figured out that if you really took the percentage that was expected of an Israelite in the Old Testament, it was about 22% of their annual income. I found that generally when I get into those discussions with people, people who want a loophole. You remember what W.C. Fields said when he was in the hospital and he was visited by a young lady, and the young lady saw him opening a Bible and going through it page by page. And she said, W.C. Fields, I didn't know you were a religious man. What are you reading? Why are you reading the Bible? He said, looking for loopholes. I think people who struggle with saying tithing was an Old Testament idea and we are free from it as New Testament Christians are kind of like W.C. Fields, looking for loopholes. Because Jesus says some incredible things about giving. Number one, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So you know what? I told my mom this. I said, Mom, I don't think I've ever preached a more direct, hard sermon on why we should be tithing to the church. Why we should be giving more freely of ourselves to the church. And I put it down in different reasons. So simply put, I want to be obedient to the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Has to be free. For God loves a cheerful giver. Those are the Apostle Paul's words. Number two, I honor God with my increase, as it says in Psalms 3, 8, and 9. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all you produce. Do you know what first fruits are? They're the best you've got. Now, I don't know about you, but some months I'm struggling with the bills and I get to the tithe part. And I think, golly, it's the last thing. I got to do this. That verse says it should be the first. Isn't that odd? It stirs my faith when I'm committed. And I'm more committed to the mission of the church if I give to the church. I'm more interested in what you as parishioners do on committees. More interested in what decisions we make on session. More interested in the work of the deacons. More interested in the worship of the church when I'm invested in it. And you know what? It simply feels good. There is no moment in my life of writing checks like you all do, or many of you have progressed to paying online. My wife tries to get me to do that, but I just can't change. That's one check I write, and I'm proud to write. I want to be engaged in the kingdom of God. I want to be where I want my treasure to be part of His treasure. His treasure is this world. He's in pain when people are in pain. He's in joy when people are able to celebrate and live life. And Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I understand the costs of running a church, and I love having a place that I can come and not charge people at the door to keep the lights on or the air conditioner working in this hot valley or the heater on a cold morning. To have spaces we can loan out to people in the community as well as to have meetings and parties and celebrations and Bible studies. I love that we have a safe, clean facility, much to the regard of our Buildings and Grounds Committee. If you ever read about Kevin Fletcher as our elder or any of the people that are involved in our Buildings and Grounds, they keep this place running. We don't have a service or a money that comes in. That's because we own the church for God. We take responsibility for the church, for God in this valley. And I hope my giving will be something that endures as a financial viability for the church right now. Because my giving speaks loudly of the importance. You know, somebody's just given me Jack actually gave me a little update on the fact that people no longer are seeking out churches. That some of the statistical studies have suggested that people are not interested. Now, I'm not sure how I would respond to that, except as the book that I just read, The Triumph of Christianity, has a counterpoint to that. How many people in our society still say they pray? How many people say that when they're in struggles, they turn to God in their own way? Now, remarkably, those same statistical studies would call us still a religious society. But it's true. There are less people in the pews on Sunday morning. And that's a sad thing for our culture. Because we don't see how important it is to say, God, I just put a little time aside on Sunday to worship you. I give because I want to make sure that some of my life reflects the situations I read about in world poverty. And we give money through our Presbyterian church to disaster relief all over the world, to fire relief right here in California. A portion of money that churches bring in go to directly helping people, not to evangelize people, but to love people. And I'm proud that we can contribute in that way and say, God's showing up in this place for you in your pain. You see, I want to reflect a character of God. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, sometimes I got to tell you, it is not always cheerful to write a check. Especially when there are other checks that I have to write that show me my bank balance is going down. But I'm reminded, though, at good moments, that I'm proud to be a part of a church. Yesterday, I was proud to be out there as there are many kids and families that came through, and it didn't look like they had much money for great costumes or anything. And some of the kids weren't even dressed as Halloween, but they came up with a bag or a pillowcase and said, trick or treat. And I was proud to be sitting in my church doing that. Much more than at my house, because I was hoping they would say, God cares. And my last one is, I give because it was modeled to me by my mother. When I had my first job of mowing lawns in the neighborhood, she said, okay, there's two rules. You give 10% to God, and we're going to open a bank account for you. 11 years old, bank account. I closed that out when I was 18. I think there was a whole $200 in it. But you give 10% to God and 10% to saving. And I think that model has served me well. And finally, I think you remember that I was challenged at Hollywood Presbyterian Church when I was 19 years old and I was nominated to be a deacon. And the associate pastor came up to me and they said, Bill, we have some questions. We see that every year you've given since you had jobs. But you always designated the money to youth ministry. Well, I did do that because I wanted other kids to have the possibilities of going to camps and the activities of church that I did. But he said, do you not trust the elders and deacons, the leaders of the church, to make the decisions about finance? I said, well, no, I guess not. He said, Bill, you need to pray about that if you want to accept a leadership role in this church. It was a startling moment in my life. So I picked this moment to say, what's the church worth to you? What's God worth to you? And I picked this last slide. Here I am, God, as we each one stand before God. And so, give as your heart calls you. Yeah, there's a tithe, 10%. Be 22% if we really figured out everything that was required of a legitimate Israelite. And Jesus said, give freely. Don't give more than you want to give. It's your decision. Jesus freed us from the tithe. But does the tithe capture who we want to be? Does a commitment to God capture us? That's in our own hearts. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this sermon series. Sue makes them really, really clever, and sometimes I struggle with what to come up with. Stepping up is a great image. So help us in our prayer life to follow you. Some of us have stepped up. Some of us can't step up. But guide our hearts because you love us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.